When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just got off the bus.
We are the Comedy Queens.
Let me be your star. You guys.
That's right.
Oh, it's Shade the Rusical this week on Race Chaser Classic. And we cover so many classic moments that we've been misquoting almost 80% for years.
Exactly. From whistletones to clunkers to comedy queens who really, really went there.
So grab your hairspray and those cats, because we're no longer Jersey boys. We're moving out to Chicago, because Mamma Mia, the rent is too high on 42nd Street. Right, Annie?
Yes, God, Mamma Mia. Let's get into
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, do a death drop.
Forever.
Welcome to the Lagateria. Would you like lag or wait time or buffering?
Ooh, I'll have a side of the buffering. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser Classic. Oh, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Hello, I'm Willem.
Here's
Would you mind sharing to the
with.
Class what's so funny, ma'am?
Here's what we're dealing with. Okay. First of all, whore. First of all, you're in the UK.
I am. And you're in Fire Island with a wisp of Wi-Fi, a wispy thin strand of Wi-Fi.
If I could show you, there is a router right here, and it has the three like antennas sticking up on the back, and then there is tinfoil on it, and the tinfoil is secured with a skewer, like a wooden like pork skewer.
Yeah.
So that's what we're combating. And Dipper is in Los Angeles. So we couldn't be spread out further.
Oh, yes, we could.
Oh my God, my mic is pointing akimbo.
What
wow.
kind of
Okay, we're off to a magnificent start.
You're in some Fire Island trap house with 18 bottoms and one verse bottom. With I consider a trap house anytime that there's drug paraphernalia on site and aluminum foil being used to conduct appliance warfare with Wi-Fi. I don't know what is going on there, ma'am. You have a new hairstyle. Is this a break? She had a snap.
No, it's for a character.
Oh,
but
character
we'll talk
illusion.
About that on Hot Goss.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about what happened last week on the Race Chasins. Last week was a scream after disembodying each other and playing tops and bottoms roulette in a mini challenge. The Divas break into two teams. Not surprisingly, they stuck with their week one, week two pre-pork chop doc groups, and they acted in two totally horrifying scream queen flicks. The runway category was best drag, and some of the girls did that. Others did other things. Team Milk was safe. Darian Lake was the winner, a headless honey, and Vivacious and April lip synced to my favorite Selena Gomez song. April carried on, and she won, and we had to say goodbye to Vivacious, but stop into your local wig store and say hi to Ornacia for me.
Absolutely. We get We allegedly get a lipstick message from Vivacious. We are not shown what it says. But I'm sure Ornatia had some choice words for the production.
I'm
sure she did.
Ornatia just put lipstick on her forehead and banged it against the mirror.
Let me feel my aunts. I just want to feel my aunts.
Bianca's like, what the fuck are you doing over there? You in a White Snake video? She said, you know what? You might be fish, but you're going to end up floating. Dead on top of the water. Bianca is side eyeing. Like, she's side eyeing Miss Boom Boom Gun fiercely.
She's mad. Ho's mad.
It's only because she's awake and she doesn't have a cocktail in her hand, though. So that's understandable.
Exactly. Bianca is annoyed by all of the girls. She's annoyed by Laganja. Who's excited for today?
She's not featuring anyone under 30, basically. She's like, you can talk to me, Darian, and you can talk to me, Courtney.
No.
And that's it.
No. The girls are feeling their oats, wheats, thins, everything. And then we get a video message from RuPaul that says, hey, dream girls, now that you've had your spring awakening, it's time to strap on your kinky boots and form a chorus line, and it better be wicked good. Otherwise, it's bye bye birdie. And if you want, do a death drop.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I added that last part.
I see. This alludes to many things, but I think it's a musical theater challenge, and the girls immediately know it is also, and they're musical theater. Courtney's so excited.
Right.
It's nice watching
Courtney starts her vocalizing.
Uh-huh. Her 40-minute warm-up. And then RuPaul comes into the room and says, the queens will be performing in the most ambitious challenge in Drag Race history, singing live in Shade, the Rusical.
So exciting.
Is this the first time the girls have sang live? Why is this considered the most ambitious challenge in Drag Race history? It's not like any of them harmonized, because that last note, honey, that is a ringtone from hell. It's a 9-part harmony.
I thought it was good.
No. You need to go back and listen to that last note. That last note is like a fucking cacophony of cunt noises. It's not a harmony. It's what's the opposite of harmony?
Discord.
It's a discord. Yeah. A discord.
Get into Discord over here.
Honey, it's Discord, Dacord, all the chords. And none of them are right, the last note of this musical. But we'll get to that. First of all, I asked Ben de la Creme how the...
Bankrolls!
I just got off the bus.
I just got off the bus. They break into teams, you know, there's this team and there's that team.
How are the teams chosen, though?
Trinity is pissed.
She said last again.
I don't know. It's not based on singing ability because Trinity is picked last and she's a good singer. So I don't know. I mean, I think people are breaking into friend groups and Trinity's picked last and she's pissed.
No, I didn't mean how.
Rightfully so.
I didn't mean how those teams are picked. I mean, how were the team leaders picked? Was there a mini challenge that they didn't show? Ben and Adore are just appointed the leaders.
Oh.
And I asked Ben, but he didn't text me. She didn't.
Maybe they cut it for time.
Mm.
Wow.
Cut it for time. Trinity.
Right, exactly. Trinity, just cut it.
Trinity doesn't look thrilled that she was picked again last, but she says, no biggie, it is what it is. But she's been giving nooch the whole episode, and they do note that at one point. Whose team would you want to be on?
Nooch Pop. I don't know. It's hard to say because, Courtney and Adore are really the powerhouses in this challenge. And luckily, they ended up on opposite teams, because that would have been a weird shakedown if they had been on the same team. It would have, well, I don't know. It could have worked out. But both of them as the Penny is really, everybody wanted to fuck a Penny in this musical.
This is 100% true. The edit beforehand with Courtney and Adore doing their, like, I was on this season. Oh, we're doing that now. Like, taking things out of context and using them as a commercial edit is my favorite thing. Take off your hat, you bald bitch. They have lots of shots of these headphones. The headphone must have had a trade out product placement for sure. But the girls aren't all in the same headphones. Trinity's in a different pair of headphones than Bianca. So maybe that's why everyone's mad at Trinity, because she wouldn't play ball with the sponsor using the proper headphones.
Right, exactly. And of course, and April, so Ben is really great about assigning the roles. She's very like, okay, so what are you feeling? How are you vibing? What do you think? Really being great as a team leader, I think. That, like, that's how you want to do it.
We With are Gia- the comedy queens.
The best Gia part of this musical. Do you want to know what's even funnier is when they're trying to get Gia to find a note, and she does all the notes around the note, the ones above it, below it, but not the actual note. And she had the unmitigated gall to tell me that she was a singer, because I hadn't seen all of season 6. And when Courtney was leaving, we did that gig in Mexico, me and you, remember, where I took that Black Molly, and Gia was there too. And I drove Gia there and then back from Tijuana. And on the way back, we were talking about how Courtney's like in London and she's not really doing AAA stuff anymore. And she really was trying to get in the group. She's like, well, just put me in. And I was like, well, are you a singer? And she's like, yeah, I've been taking lessons. She's like, I wouldn't say I'm a singer, but I can definitely carry a tune. Honey, she could carry the tune to a dumpster where it should then be buried, because not a singer does not describe what she was. She was outright lying to her sister, trying to get up in the girl group.
The test determined that was a lie.
And then later in the interview, she literally says, some of us aren't singers, some of us are dancers. She bold-faced lying. And I think she knew I was on the come down too, so she thought I was weak, and I would just be like, yeah, you can be in the group, it's great. Yeah, fucking bitch.
We are the comedy queens.
She did get in for one night only in LA for a AAA girls show, but it did not.
Right.
It was not a permanent. She was not offered a cast in-house position.
Not this time, but you know, we're always looking for new, fresh talent.
Yeah. Fresh faces, 2022.
Fresh look contact lenses. RuPaul comes in for the walkthrough.
Colorblind.
And Courtney is just rubbing it in. Courtney's like, you know, the new thing I'm working on is whistle tones.
I have all my notes in the normal register, so I thought I'd do wallaby notes.
Right. Yeah. And RuPaul's like, okay, we're going to move on.
And after Courtney's display of magnificence, she says, Trinity, you seem quiet.
Yeah.
And then Trinity says in her interview, well, I'm a drag queen. I don't sing. Like, being a drag queen is an excuse for not having a particular talent, which, and it's not anymore. But Trinity definitely seems like she opened up a can of Nooch Pop.
She did. And she's, cold can. I mean, by this point, they had been there for a little while, and I think she's still adjusting. Like, I understand whenever I go to, like, a new place, I definitely have a period of adjustment, and you feel so out of sorts, and you miss your home, and, like, I understand what she's feeling. It doesn't play well on reality TV, unfortunately, but I understand what she's going through for sure.
And she's one of the girls probably there that doesn't know any, that didn't know any other girls coming in, you know, like.
Exactly.
Some, even having one person that's a familiar face, that's always easy, but like, she has nobody. So I understand the isolation that she's feeling for sure.
Yeah.
Rue tells Adore, because after last week with them not doing their like homework, you can tell like Rue really wants Adore to succeed, because she's given her like blunt advice. She's like, bitch, you need to practice. You need to you need to get it together, honey. And when it comes down to the Butch Queen, April Carrion is just like, please don't give me that again. So they give her they give her something else that she's not, a big girl. They're not making it easy for the girl. That's all I'll say.
No, not at all. And it's an unfortunate setup, because the one play has a role written for a person of size, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
but even the lines in that aren't like necessarily reflective of that. The only thing that says something about a girl with size is when the one character says back rolls as she walks away.
Oh, I guess that's true.
There's nothing specifically that says big girl other than that one line. So it's kind of bogus that they did that even. They should have just said, you know what? I'm not a big girl. And it's, what is it called? Is it appropriation?
Well, like when, I mean, I don't know if it's appropriation. I get it's just like, it's like kind of, I don't know.
Sizist?
It's like stunt casting with a weird...
Like if you put on a fat suit, like how Shangela did for that one lip sync. Like, right. What is that called?
That shit is tricky because fat...
Is it fat, called fat face?
It's called fat body. Fatness is like universal. It's not. It doesn't apply to one race or culture, so it's less about appropriation. It's more about like representing an experience you're not familiar with. Anyhow, let's take a break.
Okay, we'll do some research while we're away. We'll be back.
Well, we'll take a break.
Bye.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or vegan and veggie.
Also, you're going to want to discover the 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
The Factor meals were so great. I love that they came in a recyclable container and with very little waste. And food, delicious. My taste buds had a party.
Exactly. Really good. Really easy to make. Loved it.
Not a lot of cleanup, because Factor Meals eliminates the hassle of the prepping, the cooking, and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff, and you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and then pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. And if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/drag50 and use code drag50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code drag50 at factormeals.com/drag50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active.
I'm sorry, Megan, but we have to take a break right now. Why are you cutting me off? Why are you cutting me? Because we have to take a break, Megan. Jesus.
That happened on The View the other day.
The View. Jocelyn came through with a little joke. She had a little chuckle. RuPaul asked her, "What? Who's your inspiration for this Butch Queen role?" And she says, "Bianca Del Rio."
I love that. Yeah. I adore.
We love a girl that has a sense of humor. Speaking of senses of humor, this rehearsal with Lucian and celebrity choreographer Denise Piani. Mm-hmm. So I asked our friend, our Lady J, friend of the pod, if there was any inside tea she could tell us about about the recording, and she said when she was introduced by Lucian to all the girls, she was introduced as a trans icon, mm-hmm. and one of the girls said, "Did you cut it off?" everybody laughed because it was funny, and our Lady J laughed. So I can't, because you know they'll come for her.
Was it Bianca?
I just can't. You know how I take my sources seriously. I love this part with Lucian, because he acts like it's like the 5 minutes before dress rehearsal, and he's so serious with Courtney, like he's not letting her rehearse, and he's expecting it to be perfect, which is like just stupid. Nobody's perfect.
They're all full of beans, literally. Do you
understand that?
Do you understand?
Not. It smells?
Not really. Trinity's not having it with this rehearsal. Trinity is like, Trinity's really trying to fucking figure out this move, and no one is helping her get to the bottom of it. So the choreographer is like, yes, but that's why we're doing it. That's why we're running it. Okay.
And 5, 6, 7. Yeah, the choreographer is so passive aggressive. You could tell Trinity wants to run it from like the previous section or whatever, but they're just running it from the top of that move. And like, honestly, I get it because everybody works differently, but like this celebrity choreographer that I've never heard of is in the drag queen's house, and she should remember that the drag queens are the ones that need to learn it, not her. She already knows it. So shut the fuck up and listen to what your students need, you know, instead of what you need. And I know they're told to probably be hard asses and stuff, but like, don't be a bitch to a drag queen you just met who's obviously going through it. Unless you're Bianca Del Rio and you can be funny about it. Which like, when Trinity's just like, this is why I don't open my mouth, because I knew blah, blah, and Bianca's just very calmly, she says, well, before you tell me what I'm doing wrong, why don't you figure out what you're doing at all? And Bianca like handles everything like a pro, I think. And it's just one of those moments where I wish I was a fly on the wall, where I was like, so I could just like look at the girl next to me and be like, ooh, girl.
And if you were a fly on the wall, you'd have 1,000 eyes, which would be awesome.
Like 1,000 eyes. Sorry.
It took me a second to get what the fuck you were doing with that, but it got there.
Got live. Hallelujah.
So what do you think about the teams now that you've seen the rehearsals? Which team would you like to be on? Do you know yet? They don't show any of Team Adore's rehearsal, really, other than... they don't show any of Milk at all.
Right. No. Because she probably did fine. But I to me, it's about Team Courtney for me. Mm-hmm. That seems good, Penny.
Good Penny.
If
I had a nickel for every good penny.
Right. Exactly. I do have a question though. What's a Tony?
You know what? That is a valid question. Like if somebody said, what's an Obie? Like I wouldn't really know what an Obie award is, but I know it's a thing. But
an Obie is the guy who helps you with your pregnancy.
Oh, I thought it was I thought it was that one girl's boyfriend on Living Single, Overton.
Yes, Overton. Yes. Shout out to Overton, friend of the pod.
I'm not mad at Gia for not knowing things and being okay with not knowing things. Like how I didn't know what Hamas was on Hot Goss and got read on the internet for it, you know? Like I'm so sorry I didn't know what that was. My bad. I'll try to know everything in the world before I ever turn on a microphone again.
I think that would be the least you could do. So I thank you for doing that. For sure. Adore has a moment where she's sort of like, she's feeling intimidated and she says, I'm not a filler queen.
I'm not, she is now. I mean.
Just a little, just a touch.
Just a touch of pump, just a touch of pump.
We all float down here, okay?
Yeah.
We all do.
The mirror chats are revealing about Adore because she's telling that she was told to kind of conceal her gayness and to tone it down when she was on Idol. And Courtney makes a point to say that she was the first out contestant on an Idol franchise because we know, like, all those American Idol ones, they were, like, Nick Vareros, David somebody. They were all gay. All of them were faggots. Mm-hmm. Adore just says, I should have gone out there with pink hair, blah, blah, blah. But I specifically remember the moment Adore had, like, one purple extension in, and I was like, she's going home. They're not going to like that in the flyover states. And that was the week she went home.
That's so wild. And, I mean, it really shows, like, how much things have changed in just the last few years. Because to think back on that, it's, like, absurd.
It's before everybody wanted a gay best friend.
Right. Exactly.
I think that Gia, talking about her experience doing kabuki theater as a child, is gorge. She's like, this is when I did boy roles. And she's like, and this
right
was when I was the fish. They say fish probably 30 times this episode.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not gonna censor myself. This is one of those moments in time where they were saying it, and it's fine. Are we just gonna go straight to the main stage? Can you hold my bag with powder, Chanel?
RuPaul comes out on the RuPaul comes out in a shimmering metallic purple, blue, gold, black, gorgeous. I love this, just classic RuPaul. Just give it to him.
It's like a chevron pattern on a RuPaul. Like, I love it. Makes her waist look small. Everything else look perfect. Michelle Visage is there with her old breast friends. The cups are runneth overing. Honestly, she should get a Pyrex dish for those. Santino Rice is there from the Book of Moron. Lucian Piani. And of course, Cheryl Lee Ralph,
who is just fabulous.
She really is. And now
put
we
a
get
cork
to watch,
in it. Literally.
Put it, it will do wonders for your elocution and diction. Miss Lee Ralph has all the tips, honey. We're going to watch Shade the Rusical and take a break.
Right after this break, let's fucking get into... Let's get our programs. Let's take our seats. Dun, 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 dun. There's seating. There's seating. We have to get inside. Finish your drinks.
Please
no
unwrap
drinks allowed.
All candies and pot stickers.
The world premiere of Shade the Rusical. I love this Rusical. It's so good. Ben de la Creme is fabulous.
And she's got a reveal.
Girl.
This is great. Courtney comes out in the Dunny Mari. Or is the, no,
it's
this
a
is the
finger
Maryland.
Wave.
Yeah, this is definitely a Maryland that was smashed down and finger waved.
And beautiful.
So beautiful.
Bianca and Trinity are holding it down as the pageant queens. Do you think Bianca zipped those dresses up for them? Like,
I would
just
not,
zipped them out on the machine.
I would not be surprised because you see Trinity trying on a shoulder thing and like looking for like something wrong with it, and there's nothing wrong with it because Bianca made it.
Yeah.
But they were fine. I mean, I understood what Trinity said because I have subtitles, but I do understand that she swallowed her words a little bit.
She did great. I thought she sounded really good. I mean, she wasn't like sort of delivering out loud as much, but you can tell like she's a really good singer from what you can hear.
That was the problem, was Bianca went before her and was just so clear and concise with every word, which is kind of what you need to be with all that exposition they were doing. That it didn't help Trinity in that regard. But I was kind of surprised with Darian and Gia because I thought both of them were great, but the judges gave Darian some negative feedback saying she kind of got lost. And I was like, what? She was doing like a low grumble voice to mask Gia's like, Gia's, you know, I don't want to call it a vocal, the noises that were coming from Gia's throat.
It was good. Darian was keeping them on track. Like, and beat, Darian was on pitch. She was delivering. And Gia was sort of, I mean, she doesn't really do like pitch. So she was just sort of following along. But like Darian was the baseline for that. And I was like, really? Okay, whatever.
Get the fish oil open.
I can't get this open. Someone do this.
I need Ben de la Creme's outfit made. I may actually already own it, but I need a replica of this. I want to go as this for Halloween. Leopard print, eye patch.
It's great. She looks wonderful.
I can't get it open.
Where are the clunkers?
Where are the whistle tones?
I didn't hear any clunkers, though. And Michelle was like, yeah, there were some clunkers. Where? Where maybe are the clunkers?
Maybe they did it twice and the clunkers were in another one. But I didn't hear clunkers either. All I heard was crystal clear tones from my sister. So
she sounded great.
And I when Mr. Hobocock tries to read my sister and says, you know, at rehearsal, and Courtney was like, no, I muffled two notes. And I can get Wendy on the phone, international.
They make it look like a flagrant argument, like Courtney cut off the judge and was just being really mad. I know Courtney, and that probably wasn't. But she was like, let's state facts. I messed up two times during a rehearsal. Is that are you going to hold that against me?
Michelle's like, yes.
RuPaul's like, yes.
Yes, I'm blocking you. I thought that LaGanja did beautiful out of the three girls, Jocelyn, her, and April.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm the star that turn.
No, I'm the star. Yeah, and she had fringe on, very smart, beautiful paint.
Also, honorable mention to Milk because I really liked her delivery of this.
It was winsome. It was definitely winsome and like melancholic gorgeousness.
It was. Liked it.
Perfectly appropriate.
And of course, Adore Delano is. I mean, this is the role that it was clearly made for her. And I'm glad that she ended up in this role because this is her moment. Fucking sickening.
Chaotic songstress. Like, who better? She's great.
Exactly. Can you believe she said that to me? Oh, yeah, she really, really went there. This part is hard. Because thank you. This part is hard because April is shouldering this sort of very syncopated like section of the music, and she's not on it. So the other girls are like having to follow her, and it wasn't going well for Ms. Carry On.
Yeah, she definitely took some liberties with the structure of the rhythm, and somebody should call the ACLU. But she looked beautiful. The beauty was present and ever so resplendent.
So beautiful. We're the new girls in town. Very, very funny. I love Shade the Rusical. It's one of my favorite challenges of all time. I want to do a staging of it. Or we should... We should do as bonus content, we should like alternate playing each role and like film it and do it. Because I want to sing this.
Oh, and Dipper can be April.
Oh my God.
What? We need a pit girl.
I thought you were talking about my singing voice.
Oh, yeah. That's.
I'm happy to be a big girl.
This is a note that Dipper included on the outline. At the end, they all sing that high note and it goes, back rolls. And the subtitles apparently say, that rules.
Oh, yeah. The subtitles for the Forum Decor Lounge also say Form Decor. They really don't want you to Google it.
Oh, I thought it was Form Decor.
No, I think it's F-U-F-O-R-U-M, Forum Decor.
F-U too.
F-U, F your Wi-Fi, F-I Fire Island. I do like that the girls all look like a solid like rainbow in these gowns at the curtain call. In their production costumes. Gorgeous looking. Are we going to talk about the runway now, or is that going to be after?
It's a fast runway. How
quick.
Dare they?
They don't even talk about... They don't even give the girls their own runways. They just say, come on out. You go to the left. You go to the right. You go to the left. You go to the right. And they don't announce the category. They just say, Bianca Del Rio. She comes down in gold and fur, looking beautiful. Not mad at it at all.
I think the reason they didn't give us a full runway is because Courtney looked too pretty. So they were like, and Courtney is wearing clothes. Anyway, just keep it moving.
Honestly, this was Courtney's like 8x10 look for a while on the road, and I've drew so many mustaches on this picture. She's so beautiful in this pink hair with this zipper gown. So pretty. Trinity also looks like a goddess.
Yeah. Like in this everybody purple. Looks fabulous. Gia's fucking taupe, fucking mermaid gown. It makes you so mad when you do that, when you're like, pissed on this runway, bitch. Yes. And then you get home a year later and you watch the episode and it's like, quick runway, ga 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 ga, and we're done. And you're like, I wasted that my good old outfit on a quick runway.
Dayla looked great. He had like some red sequin thing with like a prolapse on his shoulder of something.
Could we see it without the flat? Oh my, so much
already
better. Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much, Cheryl Lee Ralph, for telling me to tone it down.
Less is more.
Rein it in. Put a cork in it.
Literally.
I think that...
Fabulous.
We talked about Courtney being beautiful already. The beauty was present. But Laganja with this headpiece on, what a great way to bring attention up. She looks beautiful.
She is the bird that they want her to be.
Yeah.
April, she is that bird.
April comes out the exact opposite of Laganja. Instead of Black Beauty, she's a white woman in white lace and jewels and pearls. It's a beautifully made gown. This does not look like a dancing gown or a performing gown.
Right. Well, everyone's in fucking gown category, like, deeply. Yeah. Jocelyn looks great. It's very princess gown. The signature necklace... Do we have the counter? We have the counter counting the signature necklace yet again. Three. Thank you. Thank you. For those of you keeping track at home, we thank you. Where is that necklace, do you think?
Hopefully the Smithsonian. this dress looks like a beautiful ABS like prom dress that she would win like homecoming queen in. She looks gorgeous. And the hair, the updo is great.
Love it.
Milk goes for a pregnant Elaine Stritch look, I think. And it's very Tony. She's got her little red AIDS ribbon pin. Very, very Tony.
That's a clever detail. Yeah, I didn't even clock the red AIDS ribbon. That's a great detail. I mean, Milk is wild and off the wall, and this look is those things. Adora is in a black and silver stoned gown. The hem just missing that last 2 inches, but you know what? She looks great. She looks beautiful.
Don't call a dress a gown though, honey. This is a dress.
What's the difference?
Honey, if you don't know the difference, I'm not going to tell you.
So wait, what is the difference between a
dress? You have some homework to do, young lady.
What is the difference between a dress and a gown? Maybe is a gown touch the floor?
Maybe you'll know when you wear one. A gown is a gown. A dress is a dress. But gowns usually fit well. There's some custom or signature element. This is a dress. This is a dress. It's a nice dress.
I
want to
Google it now. I want to Google it. Oh, I'm using my phone for the Zoom. I'm like, where is it? What is the difference between a dress? Okay. What is the difference between a dress and a gown?
We're the new girls in town, and we're wearing a gown.
Down.
Well, okay, a simple Google search is not possible on this internet.
The word gown tends to refer to more formal garments like those worn for weddings, proms, or balls. A dress can be any one-piece garment with a skirt of any length and can be either formal or informal.
Well, I mean, that's yours is any length, but it should be more specific to too short.
Adore could have worn that to prom.
Ooh, I like sure. This one. This is the better definition. Dresses and gowns are often used interchangeably as a word, but they are not the same attire at all.
Told you.
It's
told
almost
you.
Like a riddle. All gowns are considered dresses, while all dresses are not gowns. Gowns are often yes. more a formal dress in nature, although the shape of them may differ.
A gown is something you could be crowned in. A dress is not something you could be crowned in. Adore was wearing a dress. That was not a gown. Period.
Okay. Okay. Willem Thank has you. Spoken.
Period. Party. Podcastress. Party.
Party.
We're going to take a break, and I'm going to need you to write out the definition of gown 3 times so you remember the rest of your life.
And I then need you to write a 100-word essay.
Oh, honey.
Right. Yes. We're back.
Not, and it's not up and above, honey. This is the Down Under Digest.
That's right. So let's check in and find out all things that are going on down under with the Down Under Digest.
Ooh, pass me the Vegemite.
My name is Latrice Royale.
And I'm Manila Luzon.
And this is your Down Under Digest.
On episode 4 of Drag Race Down Under, we get a design challenge. Were you impressed?
Sorta. And surprise, surprise, the queen comes back. Does she deserve it?
I don't know, but I'm glad she is.
Okay.
Plus, we chat and wiggle with the one and only...
Queen who was eliminated.
For more recaps of season 1 of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under.
Check out The Chop every Thursday here on the Mom Network.
Okay, so we are back for Shade the Rizzicle's judging panel, and the safe girls are called out Bianca, Milk, Laganja, Gia, and Jocelyn. Now, they go back to the Forum Decor Lounge, and I'm going to start watching Untucked this week because some nice person Instagram DM'd me and told me I could use their WoW Presents password because I won't pay for it anymore because I'm afraid to give them my billing information. girl. do you want to get into the other judging for the girls? For Trinity, they talk about everything we've already talked about the mush mouth thing. But she has a little comeback. She says, every star was crap before they became the shit.
That's funny. And Drew.
Is every shit a crap or is every crap a shit?
What is the difference? Siri, what is the difference between a shit and a crap? Willem, you might understand the critique they gave to April Carry On, which was, you look like you have a beard on your forehead.
You know what? I understand.
Wait,
what
was that April? That was April, right?
It was April. But like later after she lip synced, that wig moved back like a skosh, just enough so that you could see the lighter color underneath. And it was It was a hard contour, but you know what? Some girls, they need their color spray. They like it. I get it. Adore was criticized for her waist not being cinched and the length of her dress. But it's one of those things where it's good because it gives Michelle something to do this season and gives her a storyline. being mad at the young pretty girl who can sing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I love that they're really leaning into all these like theatrical like tropes. They're like, okay, it's intermission. They like blink, they dim the lights, and they like have a program for Shade the Rusical. And then when they announce the winner, they say the nominees are Ben de la Creme, Courtney Act, and Adore Delano. Yes. I love that. I like those cute little touches. Mm-hmm.
And when Courtney is announced as the winner, the first thing she does is she thanks her fellow nominees.
Yes.
Which is very gracious. So it's nice to see that Courtney's even acting on the runway. bitch, she knew she was going to win. She had to.
It could have been Adora.
I thought Ben was my second choice for win, though, after Courtney, because Adore was great and everything, but Ben had more layers and levels and things to do, I thought, than Adore. Adore had to sing beautifully and portray a bit of a fallen star. I thought Ben had a bit more to do, and he had her body out, too.
Right. And so, yeah, Ben de la Creme really crushed this.
And she did it all with one eye. And that's sometimes hard, girl. That'll give you a headache. But the winners are Courtney Act, and she won two VIP packages to the Broadway musical Kinky Boots, which she received. She did not receive her other prize package, but we will get to that later. And the bottom two are declared Trinity K. Bonet and April Carrion.
Yes.
Now, this song, honey...
This is a great song. This is I'm Every Woman by Chaka Khan. I think in order to be allowed to do drag, you have to know and learn this song.
I just learned the words for the first time watching this episode. I didn't know I can sense your needs like something.
Like rain unto the sea.
Rain unto the seeds. The seeds. The seeds need rain to grow. It's the seeds, honey. I can't believe that I didn't know a song about this song was about seeds. You know I love a seed song.
Seed songs.
That's my dick playlist. It's subtitled Seed Songs.
Seed Songs. Yes.
But they both do a great job, but Trinity breaks the rule and she comes down on the stage and you can just tell that April's like, well, I'm going to go down now. Oh, wait, it's the end. I can't. Damn it. There's a big bill out there. They're still tipping. Like, it doesn't feel...
I bet that when she took one step on those stairs, a storm of producers ran over and said, no, because Serena Chacha did this on season 5. She, like, went to go down the stairs, and, like, a whole bunch of producers and people were like, no. The stairs are not allowed. Yes. She said, well, I'm here.
It's unfortunate that April is encumbered by the dress. For sure.
Yes,
she has to bend down and pick it up. Yeah, but it was her time. Yeah. She went. Trinity won. Did you watch Untucked this week?
I did. Trinity set fire to this lip sync, I just have to say. Like, we're really seeing what a powerhouse Trinity K. Bonet is when it comes to, like, embodying a song and bringing it to life. She cracks out a fan at one point. Like, this is... She knew every intonation of the song. She crushed it. She looked fucking lovely. It's such a shame to have to see April go home this early because she also did great and she was lovely. So it's hard.
Yeah. I like the part where April was doing the background singer ones and Trinity was just sitting on the steps and then she does the lead vocal. And so I was like, smart. Oh, okay. Trinity so knows what she's smart. Doing for sure with that. Yeah. We're gonna hit this very special segment next that we like to call Backlash from Bianca.
Backlash musings from a cloud.
But so we don't know the name. I don't
so
know the
still
name.
No
of
title.
It. We're using a different title each time. This yeah. is a segment where we speak to possibly the winner of season 6, a memorable character and an all-around lovely good time gal. Mm-hmm. This is
Musings of an Angry Drag Clown.
Baloney with Bianca.
So in the workroom on Drag Race, you always had headphones around your neck in the workroom.
Yeah,
I did. What was on those headphones? What were you listening to?
I don't think we were listening to anything. For some reason, I think
just
it was
stylistically.
No, they weren't mine.
The lip sync songs?
They were given, no, because you don't get them during the show. Like, don't you not, I don't remember if you had, I didn't have to lip sync. I don't think we had, because it was a little, what was that thing called?
The iPod?
Not an iPod. It was something, or MP3. We had MP3s for us, and the headphones were given to us. It was a sponsor or something. So they would always say, can we at least have two people wearing it? So it just became the thing that I had on. I think it even
product
had a separate
placement.
Cord. Which I didn't even have plugged in. So no, those were not the same headphones to listen to the MP3s. It was just on the table. They were like, can two of you at least wear it? I'm like, okay, whatever. So that's why I had them on.
Selling the product.
Well, I didn't even get a pair. I don't even know what the company was.
Untucked this week was riveting.
It was on fire, honey.
Bianca makes it very clear why she is there, and it's not to find a new top six for her friendster. She is focusing on getting that crown. She probably already has a window or a shadow box with upholstered pink satin in it at home, ready to put it in, if I know anything about her.
The satin was imported from Italy. She hand-sewed it, and... yes, definitely.
She shaved the goat's underbelly herself.
To
make this goat spun satin.
Are we, we're keeping a count, and Bianca has officially said, I'm not here to make friends, which is a reality TV mainstay, so we thank Bianca for that. And then we
thank
get
you.
Gia... this is... when you turn Gia to, like, reading mode... it is the most exciting, glamorous, titillating moment. Okay. Well, okay.
This is the reading rainbow that I want. Fuck LeVar Burton.
She starts in on milk. Okay. She says, well, if you think you're going to wear that and you think that's Broadway glamour, I want to get into your mind, honey.
She says, this is a drag competition, sweetie.
I wasn't seeing femininity. It wasn't invoking femininity. And this is a competition for dressing like women. And if you didn't know, then now you do know. Then Jocelyn says, Gia, you're ignorant.
Point blank,
which,
period.
Which then Gia... twists around her cannon of reading, her laser cannon of reading, and she blasts it on Jocelyn, and she says, well, you should have been red for that hair, but you weren't. Just because no one's interested in your style, because you look like you got your dress from the quinceañera store. Does that make sense? Then she asks, does that make sense?
God bless her.
Oh my god.
Wow.
And Gia says hi walking into the gold bar, which I love.
Work.
We were friends before we were friends.
The part with Ganja crying is a nice moment, seeing that she's got acceptance from her parents where there may not have been so much at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca tries to lighten the mood, how Bianca does though, because it's a drag competition, you know, but We know that at this point in her life, LaGanja was definitely taking advantage of every moment that the cameras were on. She was bringing boy looks. She was bringing catchphrases. She was doing her best to make a mark on reality TV. And when Bianca tried to lighten this mood, and I remember this, Ganja definitely took it some sort of way. And she said, this was my moment.
Right. Yeah, poor LaGanja. She is just too sensitive for this fucking environment. She was really feeling actual emotions. And then everyone just picked up and started like... And then this edit of demonic laughter. Like, they're all just sitting around like mocking
her. So rude. Honestly, I understand how some of these girls need therapy after the way that WOW edits this, because then, you know, the fans think it, oh, look at her, so dramatic. And then they think that that's you. So I fully understand this. And we sympathize with our friend Ganj and our esteemed choreographer. But we could talk about that later on the Hot Gossip. Yeah. This was a wonderful episode. So much talent was on display. And I would like to thank each and every ear for joining us this week on Race Chaser Classique.
And I also, my outline has ceased loading.
Well, I've taken enough loads for everybody. The next part you say is, I'm Alaska.
My name is Alaska.
And I'm Willem. And we'd love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe, please. Take a moment to leave us a rating, too, as long as it's 5 stars. If not, kick rocks.
That's right. And you can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser account is at Race Chaser Pod. And the Mom Podcast account is at Mom Podcast. So follow them all. Follow me.
Plus, bonus content is available now at patreon.com/Willem. You can search for the Race Chaser content by using the hashtag Race Chaser, and that's Patreon Plus.
And you can email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. Please stay safe, get the vaccine, socially distance yourself, and wear a mask if you still want to. It's not okay not to, in some scenarios, still. And please respect each other out in the world. You know what?
You can say whatever you want. I just want, you know, it's like people don't have to wear them anymore. What?
I got fucked, and this guy had a mask on. Twice. And it's not like I had to kiss him through it, and not like I wanted to kiss him anyway. But like, I was like, what do you think that your face isn't getting that your dick won't, honey?
No, but this is the thing is that you could have sex.
Don't call me that. No, don't call me a thing.
No, we talked about this on Sloppy Seconds. Like, you can have penetrative anal sex, and if you're wearing a mask, that you won't transmit COVID. There are such minor...
Well, he took it off to eat my ass. Why put it back on?
Well, is your saliva in your asshole?
You don't know what she gets into, and how dare you ask that
I'm
question.
Just saying, there's just such small trace amounts of COVID in cum that you can't get sick from it. So that's why they were saying you could have sex with masks on. And let him live his comfortability. That's what he wanted to do.
Are you saying my ass was comfortable? Because that sounds like an insult. That sounds like
roomy.
A loose beanbag of sort.
Bye.
Very roomy.
Fuck everybody.
Also, before we leave, I just want to say, you look like a fucking dumpster.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.